Good evening, everybody. We're going to go ahead and get started this evening. Welcome to the Fort Recovery Chamber of Commerce Awards Banquet. I want to go ahead and start by introducing the chamber officers. First off, the treasurer, Eric Brackman. You can go ahead and stand, that's fine. Oh, you get a clap too. Yeah, there you go. Secretary, Megan Steinberg. Vice President, Connor Rammel. And I'm Sean Robinson, I'm the acting president. Ted, you're somewhere out there. There you are. If you don't mind, Ted, we'll do the blessing before the meal this evening.
I guess Father Ned couldn't make it tonight, so you get Father Ted instead. And I might make his homily seem short, so just get comfortable. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the blessing of this day and this opportunity to bring members of our community together to celebrate the accomplishments that we're so thankful for. Thank you for all the blessings of our talents and our skills that you've given us to put back into our community to make this a better place for all of us to live in and to prosper and to raise our families. We're just thankful to bring these individuals together tonight to help celebrate their successes. And let's help us to just continue to encourage each other for the betterment of our community. And we ask that you bless this food in thy name, which we are about to receive from thy bounty through Christ our Lord. Amen.
We're going to dismiss tables this evening from front to back, starting with the officer's table. And we can just kind of go down the line and then weave our way back through.
We're going to make a last call for the raffle. I'm going to be back there at the raffle table if anybody would like to get in the raffle drawing for those items that we have donated tonight. You can see me back there at the raffle table in the next 5 minutes. Thank you.
All right. Let's say we get this party started. Once again, it's my honor and privilege to be up here, mostly because I get to take my mask off, which is good. So I'm separated from it. Yeah, when Connor first called me, he said, you know, because of our rules and stuff like that, we might have to limit the number of people. And I'm like, well, more dessert for me. Not so bad. But unfortunately, we had to cut out the happy hour, and I guarantee you guys, usually I'm a lot funnier if there's a happy hour before. But I'm going to try to make do. All right, let's start off with some very good thank yous. I'm going to say the banquet sponsors here. One of the major sponsors, Fort Recovery Insurance Agency. The program sponsor was Park National Bank. Dessert sponsor was Tin Cupboard. Our cooks from Mary Evers and Mary Evers. Wave hi back to them. I don't think they can see it. Excellent job. Our beverage sponsor was Dollar General. Table sponsors, the nice doings you have there on the table is Cheeseman Transport, Forget Me Not Florist, Fort Recovery Dairy, Klingsher & Sons Trucking, Kalp Pharmacy, Mercer Health, Mercer Savings Bank, Mullenkamp & Associates, the People's Bank Company, Tomorrow's Technology Today, Wangler Ace Hardware, Wendell Poultry Service, and Wabash Mutual Telephone. Round of applause, please. And, of course, that delicious turkey was donated by Cooper Farms. Another round of applause, yeah. My compliments to the bird. Alrighty, some special guests that came tonight, some guests and dignitaries we have from our county commissioners, Rick Mullenkamp. No, maybe not. Greg Homan. Well, and Jerry Laughlin. We might be over three. Mayor Kalp, he came tonight. We have Ben Thaler from Warren Davidson's office. And Representative Susan Manchester. Say hi to Sue. All righty, I always try to kind of start things off with a little lightness. Really tough this year, just not a lot of whole funny things going on. You know, the news cycle is either the pandemic or, you know, politics, a pandemic. It was really hard, you know, but I think I can't be lazy, you know, I really got to work at this because, I mean, I can't just mail it in. Or can I? Maybe this year, so if I tell a joke and you get it 3 days later, is it still funny? Does it still count? I don't know. So I decided to try to do something on a more safe turf, so I'm going to do religion. So in my hands, in this tablet, I have the top 10 commandments from God. That's been done before? Holy Moses. All right, well, let's see. I've done the religious joke. I've done the political joke. 50% like that. The other 50% didn't like it. I know Susan's got to be thinking, who is this guy? Who is this guy? So unfortunately, all that leaves is the pandemic. So remember about a year ago, we had that quarantine. Remember? I called that quality time with the wife and caged animals. All right, I'm going to give you a top 10 list tonight. It's the top 10 reasons you knew you were in quarantine too long. Number 10, you've given a name to every one of your plants. Hey, Venus, your fly's open. Your son says, let's play ball. Okay, Dad, today is it the football, the basketball, baseball, softball, the volleyball, the bowling ball, the bocce ball, cue ball. Number 8, Alexa gets tired of answering your stupid questions. Hey, Alexa, what's the best way to serve spam? Number 7, hey, Wilson, you want to watch Castaway again? Wilson. Okay, a heart-healthy breakfast. Number 6, a heart-healthy breakfast is red wine and Cheerios. Had that a few times. Number 5, you're fixing the kitchen plumbing when your wife leans over your shoulder and tells you, hey, I'd use the number 12 offset hex instead of the adjustable crescent. Number 4, you look forward to daily Zumba with the Roomba. Number 3, your wife announces the next new project is flooring in the doghouse, which is okay with me because I spent a lot of time in it. Number 2, a new game, Dryer Bingo. Brawl 14? Anyone? Brawl 14? if I only had underwear 62. And the number 1 reason you knew you were in quarantine too long was, as a dad, you can now recite the names of all the Disney princesses. 10 reasons why you were in quarantine too long. All righty, Dave, why don't you kind of start working your way up here? Because we have to announce the Mayor's Outstanding Community Service Award.
Thank you, Doc. By the way, I ate with Doc. He's started doing this in 91? 91 or 92. So let's give Doc a round of applause here for coming to all these. It's pretty awesome. His jokes are getting better every year. This year, I almost laughed at one. I mean, I was right there thinking, I'm going to laugh at one of these times. All right. So, crazy year. So I got a little speech here, and this is my time to get up on my soapbox a little bit. But I start my notes for this night on the third day of March, 2021, as I normally do on our way home from vacation. And I'm with my awesome wife, Lucy, and our longtime travel buddies, Brian and Mindy Bupp. And I reminded myself about a gentleman complaining about the lengthy speech that I gave last year. And I won't name his name because that's pretty unprofessional. But luckily for me, I knew he'd be back this year because the unnamed fellow's wife is the citizen of the year. So just for him, I made it twice as long. So I find myself thinking about writing my talk for last year. And the first thing is, obviously, what a hell of a year, huh? 12 months of pure penance. Last year on our vacation, we spent a few days in Barbados, and we had beautiful weather. We had great times. But all our conversations was about this new virus. It was going to change everybody's life. And I think I was just as skeptical as everybody here. And there was a gentleman from Seattle at our resort that rode down the elevator with Brian one day, and he told him that life as we know it is over. And Buppy come out, you know, he tells me, and I'm like, dude's crazy, right? And turns out he was pretty much spot on right now. So hopefully things change on that. But it's been exactly a year, roughly, since we traveled. And a lot of that has to do with the swim team schedule. And God love our coach, and also the 2021 Citizen of the Year. She got another group of swimmers to the state meet, and congratulations to those girls. They got to swim this year. And congratulations, Mindy, on being the Citizen of the Year. I also want to congratulate Ron Beckman There's Ron right there for being inducted into the Hall of Fame. Congratulations to the Lifestyle Beauty Salon for being named the Business of the Year. Well-deserved, Maria and Ashley. Great job on that. Congratulations to all our Beautification Award winners, TJ and Beth West Curtis, which I don't know if I saw TJ. Is TJ here? Bill and Bert Stogler, congratulations. And Spency. Where's Spency at? Spency, I'm not sure what you did. That was a landscaping thing or something, wasn't it? Fabulous. Congratulations to A.J. Romer. Where's A.J. at? He's right there. Hell of a job on that thing I'm going to win here after a bit, too, by the way. So back to my story. Bubby and I talked at the airport how weird it was to see every person in that entire airport with a mask on. And like he said, it's like watching a sci-fi movie, you know? It was very strange. And I hated it. I mean, I absolutely hated it. And I understand that we live in a small community and our opinion's different, big time. And I know that this virus is very real and it has been life-threatening and even deadly to some of our members of our community. But yet I wonder to myself if this original computer model that gave us information that 2.2 million people was going to perish in America, I wonder if it spit out a more realistic model, would have this pandemic been treated differently? And my personal thought is that it caused more panic and confusion than it did insight. And I know some of you here this evening have been through it. And some of those same people was really hit pretty hard, and the next person, not so much. And I certainly don't wish it on anyone because of the severity that it can cause. And last year, I remember Doc Hosbach, and I think Doc just got home from Australia or something, didn't you? And we briefly talked about COVID, and we really didn't know what the hell we were getting into. I remember we were hitting elbows. Remember, we were not shaking hands and hitting elbows, and everybody got a chuckle out of it. But as I sit in my seat, 39A, on a 777, American Airline. It's 43 rows long, 10 seats wide, okay? We're all sitting in there with our masks on. And I'm wondering to myself, how did this possibly happen? You know, how did this happen to our world? And I watched the Florida International Girls Soccer Team. They came on the plane as I was sitting there. They had their face mask on and their face shields. And I felt sorry for them. And I thought to myself, wow, that's fun college times right there. I think about my daughter, Rachel. She lost her senior season of rowing at Duquesne. She was picked as the team captain and looked so forward to her senior season. And I also remember that call she called the night she called me. I was heading to a council meeting. And I pulled over at Shell Station because I knew this was going to take a little bit. And I felt so sorry for her as she sobbed and she cried to her daddy. And my only words of advice was, you know, hon, you feel the exact same way as every other college athlete out there. I mean, what do you say, you know? I mean, I don't have anything. And I know we all have our own stories to tell, and they all are heartbreaking. I lost two aunts last year, and they were to COVID, and it sucks, you know? It is what it is. It stinks. But here I sit. I'm sitting in this sardine can. All the air has been recirculated, you know, and blown back on us. And we were told, hey, if you get your mask below your nose, you know, if we have to warn you the third time, you'll never fly American Airlines again. Alrighty. Okay. Fun trip, you know. Love to be on the plane. But in the few days while we were gone, and I'm starting to look up some news, Mr. Potato Head lost his mister. Dr. Seuss had to burn a few books. And I just want to ask, when? The question is when. When is this bunch of crap going to end? You know, when's it going to stop? And I wonder someday if a group of people, you know, came into our town and they wanted to tear down our statue of Anthony Wayne. or they wanted to destroy our monument. And I'm telling you, I don't think any of us here or anybody in our community would just sit back and say, it was pretty cool while it lasted, though, right? No, we're not going to do that. So I'm done complaining. I'm sorry. And I'll get off my soapbox and talk about tonight's winner. But when I think about who I'm going to give this to and I think about the year in the past, we always award this to a group of people or a committee that has done great things for our town. And of course, thinking about last year, I thought about how terrible it must have been for our Fort Recovery merchants. Being shut down for a considerable amount of time, losing a bunch of money, losing their inventory to expiration or whatever the case may be. And I thought to myself that the merchants are going to be the winner of this year's Mayor's Award. They've been through hell in the last 12 months, and I wanted to recognize them and deeply thank them for hanging in there and responding through this mess. I got a lot of information from Jerry, Lori, their daughter Jill. They sent me all kinds of stuff, and I can't type all that stuff in there. But what I didn't know is there's actually 38 merchant members in this small town. And to me, that's not only awesome, I think it's amazing to have 38 merchant members in our small town. And this group is without doubt the backbone of our community. And as a business owner myself, I totally understand the notion of giving back to those who support us. And this group goes above and beyond. And I'm sure all these people, all these merchants, all these business guys, you know, they have a plan, they have a budget. And each month, each quarter, each year, they reset that budget. And each one has an advertising and a donation line in that same budget. And I know I do, and it's pretty much the one that gets busted for me every time, okay? Because when a group needs to raise money for a project, usually it's the merchants that are hit up for some financial help. And I'm guessing the answer no is not giving very often. And I'm not sure that many of the organizations that ask for this aid think about, you know, where this money is coming from. And I'm not hammering these people that want this money, because it's all good stuff. But I just want them to know that there isn't a magic money tree in the back room growing Ben Franklin's, right? And it's tough. And I got a guy that's pretty much on the same side of the, or both sides of the fence. And he's talking to me about, you know, I don't want to say no to anybody. But, you know, there's a group comes in, they're going to do something special this year, and man, can you give us more money than you normally give us? And the problem with that is that here's our stack of money, and now we're going to give some more to this guy over here. And the problem is you're going to shortchange everybody else that's coming in, because the normal ones are coming, the ones that come every year, you know, and we want to support all that. We want to support anything from the kids all the way through, you know. And it's tough, and nobody wants to tell them no, you know. In 1997, I had a chance to buy one of our cool downtown buildings, okay. And it's the building that, and I was hoping they would be here tonight, that Buck and Pat May is in. And I bought that building from a little old lady named Elizabeth Kreider. And some of you people in here, I'm sure, remember Libby. And when we agreed to a purchase price, she suggested, let's do a land contract so I don't get that money all in 1 year. And I said, well, that's cool. I said, what are you thinking? I said, you tell me. And she said, well, I'm thinking 10 years. Libby, I think, was 92 at the time, okay? And I'm thinking to myself, my God, 10 years, that's unbelievable. I said, Libby, how about 5? And we settled for 7. And, you know, she was an awesome lady, and I loved going down there for 7 straight years and paying her a chunk of money right around Christmas time. And a couple hours with her at Christmas time was great. And I remember going to her store when I was mom's knee height. She had a clothing store in town, and so, you know, I had the opportunity to buy that building, and I did it. And part of that, obviously, was getting to know Buck and Pat May. Buck started renting that building in 1973, okay? And when I bought it, Buck was 65 years old. And I told Lucy, I said, you know, it'd be great if Buck didn't retire for a few years and, you know, he stayed down there. We would certainly get some income and stuff. Well, let's forward 24 years. Guess what? Buck's still there. He's 89. He's struggling. But it's so cool to go in there and talk to him and listen to his wisdom. I know he has to have the most seniority when it comes to our merchants. So I was hoping he and Pat would be here tonight so we could give him a nice round of applause. But if you see him, you know, say something to him about it. But the best part about that story is that there's definitely a history of longevity owning that building and being part of that building. So I feel pretty good about that. Let's see. So our downtown merchants, they got so many things going on that we just take for granted, you know. Obviously, we got the bunny hop for Easter coming up here. The Taste of Town kickoff at the Jubilee, one of my favorites. Jerry reminded me tonight of the silver dollars that they always used to give away. They gave away silver dollars at different events back in the 60s, and they did it a few years ago out here at the amphitheater. They're in charge of the Halloween parade. And obviously the big Christmas open house, always a fan favorite. They have the men's night out, the ladies' night out, and I'm sure there's much more that I can't remember. But the Merchants Association was formed prior to 1950, and their mission is to support local business through the sharing and resources and encouraging unity throughout our village. So unity. Unity is without doubt a great description of our merchants. Never more prevalent than this last summer. One of our merchant members had a tragic accident, and they lost one of their family members. And as a community, we mourned with them, and we offered our condolence. But for the merchants, they had another idea. And they put yellow ribbons on every pole, every sign, every post throughout town. And that, my friends, is unity at its best. They're letting everybody know that, hey, you know, we're here for you if you need anything. And I was damn proud to be a part of this town when that was going down, I can tell you that. I believe my brother Jerry is the president of the merchants, right, Jerry? Election at the next meeting, somebody step forward, please. And he's been doing that for I don't know how many years. Thank you, Jerry, for your time and effort. And by the way, happy 40th anniversary to the pharmacy this year. Well, I'm not going to introduce all 38 members, but I would like any of the merchants here to please stand, or even better, come on up and get this award that you so very much deserve. So please join me in giving our merchants a round of applause. Anybody can come up. Come on up. Pretty much all I got this evening, so maybe I'll run into some of you guys at Pepe Le Pew's funeral or something, maybe.
Yeah, I just wanted to thank Mayor Kaup and thank everyone for showing up. The Merchant Association, we're a subcommittee of the Chamber of Commerce, and thank you for supporting us all. It is very important, And we're going to continue and to strive to make this a great community. So thank you very much.
Thank you.
Okay. Every year I keep trying to tell Jerry that he needs to put in an oxygen bar. He never listens. It's a fantastic idea. No, it's certainly just all around the challenges for merchants have been heavy, and I'm always interested in how they kind of pivot. I know it's, some companies that had, or especially the restaurants and the coffee houses that had drive-throughs, they had to pivot to that. I think even the pharmacy started a drive-through. And they would even have their drive-through employees wearing a mask. So I don't know about you guys, but I mean, I struggle with those intercoms anyway, and then you throw a mask on the other end. So I just kind of wanted to share a little experience I had here recently. I'm driving, I think, oh man, I just got to stop for a pick-me-up. So I walk in and say, and I hear, what was that plan? Well, I just want a plain coffee. So you need me to scream? Oh, milk and cream, milk. Oh, okay, low fat. Low fat. I said, no, ma'am, I didn't call you fat. I just need a little bit of low fat with it. Oh, all right, just make it black. I'm so sorry, ma'am. Yes, I know this is 2021. All right, you need to know my size. I just want a prize. I'm the 100th customer. So I get fantastic. I get a month free coffee, but I can't smell or taste. Dang. Well, Ted's coming on up here. Come on up here, Ted. I'm going to introduce Ted. He's going to give away the beautification awards.
How do you hold that?
Oh. Brian Bupp, don't say anything to Calpe about his speech being too long last year, okay? Because it might get longer next year. No, he did a great job. Good job, Calpe. We're talking a lot about COVID and everything and maybe some of the negative things that came out of that. But I think one of the positive things that came out of it is the, people weren't going on vacations. They were staying home, obviously spending more time together as a family. But they were also investing resources maybe that would have been spent on vacations back into their properties. And so it's always an honor every year to recognize members in our community who have done a great job of making improvements to their properties with our beautification awards. It was especially challenging this year because I think we probably had more potential candidates than any given year. So it was very obvious that even though people couldn't get away, they stayed home and they put a lot of time and energy and resources in their properties. So again, my hat goes off to the whole community. And if you fall in that category where you invested some time and energy back on your property, even though we may not be recognizing you tonight, I'd still like to congratulate the entire community. So it's my privilege tonight to recognize a few of those individuals. And I'm going to go out of order a little bit on the program here because one of those recipients is not able to join us here tonight. So I'm going to mention them first, and that's TJ and Beth Westgirdis. They reside at 404 West Milligan Street. So if you're not familiar with that, Milligan Street's the street that goes back to the swimming pool. They're the last house on the right side, right across from the swimming pool. And if you're familiar with Beth and TJ's property, I was a little reluctant to even call that award most improved residential property because if you're familiar with it, there wasn't anything wrong with it before. They do a great job maintaining their property. TJ's probably got one of the few garages in town where you could eat off the floor, and that kind of just goes hand in hand with the rest of the property. So to take a property that certainly didn't need improving, but to be able to stick some resources into it and upgrade it even more and do the job that they did is just a tremendous accomplishment. So we want to congratulate them on their Most Improved Residential Property Award. They've re-sited the house, new windows, some stonework on the front, added an in-ground pool in the back of the house. Yeah, that's right. I mentioned they live right across the street from the public pool. So they've just done a great job. If you see Beth and TJ out, please help us congratulate them on their Most Improved Residential Property Award. All of these awards are co-sponsored by Fort Recovery Lumber Company, Nature's Green Nursery, and Fort Recovery Insurance Agency. So thank you again to those sponsors. I guess maybe it's no coincidence that those are maybe some businesses that actually benefited from people putting money back into their properties. I don't know, Boosie, you got anything planned that, you know, that, where's Boosie at? The next award is our Most Improved Dwelling Award. And as the name implies, that's for improvements to the dwelling itself. In a lot of cases, these types of projects take on several components, both improvements to the dwelling and then maybe the following year improvements to landscaping. But there were some definite improvements to this dwelling that we took notice of this year, and that is Bill and Bert Stogler's residence at 501 First Street. You know, Calpe mentioned, you know, he's now a longtime business owner in the downtown since 1997. Bill and Bert are one of those longtime homesteaders in Fort Recovery. I don't know, how many years have you guys lived down there on First Street? 35 years. Yep. So that's always kind of a neat, refreshing thing that we get to see is, you know, there's a lot of homes that change hands, but here's a home that, that stayed in the same family for several years, and this is probably, what, the second or third wave of improvements you guys have done, maybe since you've had the house? Or so hat goes off to you for your continued commitment to keeping your property look great. So Bill and Bert, if you'd like to join me up here on stage, I'd like to present you with this Most Improved Dwelling Award for 2020. You'll be receiving some gift certificates from the sponsors. There is also a commendation here from Representative Susan Manchester's office that we'd like to present you with also. So please help me congratulate Bill and Bert Stogler on their Most Improved Dwelling Award. If you get a chance, take a drive by Bill and Bert's place there on North First Street. They've done a great job, and there's always a few things that aren't as noticeable. They've got some addition that they put on the back of the house, and obviously people are continuing to make improvements on the inside of the house, which we don't see, but they did a great job with what we could see. The last award that I have to present here is going to go to Neil Spencer and his property at 106 South Elm Street. This is our Most Improved Landscaping Award. And this one's a little bit trickier because you may not be able to see and appreciate the work that Neil had done there. Most of it is to the back of his property, which sits directly behind Casey's. Casey's blocks most of that. From the west, it sits behind the fire station, so it's not necessarily real accessible from that direction either. But I made a point to drive back by there today just to check things out. The last time I drove by, we had about 12 inches of snow on the ground, so it's kind of hard to tell. But Neil's done some really neat work at the back of his property. He's got a beautiful rose arbor that he's put up along the back of the property, and I'm really anxious to see his climbing roses in bloom this summer. But probably one of the neatest things is the water feature that he put in back there. The water was running and flowing through there this afternoon. I actually had the opportunity as a youngster to mow Neil's yard for him, and I can just always remember probably mowing over a lot of flowers that I didn't realize were flowers, so I apologize for that, Neil. But it won't be any mistake now what's there for landscaping purposes and what's not. So, Neil, if you would, please come forward. We'd like to present you with this award for your Most Improved Landscaping for 2020. Please help me congratulate Neil Spencer.
So Neil, you got a show on your radio there, Walking Through the Garden with Steve Stone, don't you? You must be paying attention there. Oh, okay. Okay, a little kibitzing there, I get it. Yeah, I mean, Ted said earlier, all this home improvement going on. I got to admit, I walked into the hardware store, and Mike Miner says, "Excuse me, Doc, are you lost? You know, what are you doing in here?" And then, you know, I could hear him whispering to PJ, you know, call his wife. He's over by the power tools. Because I want to know, because Calpe, if I drill into a stud and the stud cracks and it's like a load-bearing wall and then your roof is a little bit uneven, is that a bad thing? Ah. Just wondering. Now, if I drill through my hand, then I know what to do. See, I got that covered. All righty, Sean is going to come up, and he's going to give away the 2021 Clarence and Ruth Raby Memorial Scholarship Award.
So just to preface, that folks that don't know me, I'm Sean Robinson. I work with Park National Bank, and I've worked here now for 3 years past January. Don't live here. I live over in Jay County. You can boo me later. But I just wanted to say how much of an appreciation I have for this community. Joe Fowler actually invited me to two things, the chamber and the community club. And I've taken a liking to both. And obviously I've made my way by choice, not by default, because I didn't become vice president by nomination, right? Is that how that works? But I've enjoyed every minute of it. And I just want to say I know you all realize what a great community this is, but it's if I can't live here, at least I can work here, and that's great. If I ever get a chance to move over here, I might, you know, have a conversation with the in-laws, but my wife, I might have to have another conversation with her as well. So we'll see if there's time. So without further ado, I'm here to present the 2021 Clarence and Ruth Raby Memorial Scholarship Award to a young man that has quite a bit of accolades. He presented a nice giveaway to us with a table event there in the corner, A.J. Romer. And A.J. is a gentleman that, young gentleman that is kind of unique because not only is he receiving this award, but he's also part of the chamber. He has his own business, Arc Engraving. So parents are Tad and Lisa Romer. Plans to attend Wright State Lake Campus. Looks like the anticipated major would be business and administration. And he wants to use his skills and knowledge from college to further and grow his business, his current business that he has, which is quite unique. Plans to stay in Mercer County, which is great to hear, and develop that business along the way. Some of the activities he participated in high school is student council, Spanish club, FCA and FFA, played football and golf, attended the FFA summer camp and state national conventions. In 2020, AJ received the state FFA degree, also earned the Star Green Hand Award and the Chapter Scholar Award. AJ attended the construction program at Tri-State his junior year, and now is co-opting for Littmer Custom Woodworking his senior year. Pretty astonishing. Some of the community service items he wrote down, loves to serve the town by working for the community cleanup day through student council, also help with the FFA food stand and cleanup at the tractor pools. Worked the FFA food stands at Mercer County Fair and helped set up stands for the Harvest Jubilee, and was a mass server for Mary Help Christian Church for over 6 years. Some other accolades here. Looks like AJ had a GPA of 3.56, and he also gave us a nice little essay, which I was wondering if I should read this or not, and I thought, you know what, I'm going to, because I thought it was well put together. So I'm going to read this, and it's not too long, I promise. Growing up in Fort Recovery has made me appreciate our strong community. Over the years, I saw how our town came together to celebrate events, but also help each other in times of need like floods, ice storms, and other tragedies. One thing I value about Fort Recovery is how much we care about each other and want to see our town thrive. This makes Fort Recovery special. I've also been fortunate to attend a great high school that supports students' goals. Through my high school experience, I fell in love with woodworking in my industrial tech class. I took this love and attended the construction program at Tri-State. Then I decided to co-op my senior year and work for Littmer Custom Woodworking. This past year, I started my own custom engraving and woodworking business in my spare time. My business is Arc Engraving, and I am a member of the Fort Recovery Chamber of Commerce. While starting my own business, I have learned how much it helps to have a strong and supportive community. It is the people in our town that have given me a chance to do something big with my woodworking hobby. I'd say it's turned into more of a hobby at this point, so congratulations there. Now that I am about to graduate, I want to use my talent to grow my business in Fort Recovery, as well as give back to my community. I would like to someday help other future entrepreneurs develop their businesses in Fort Recovery. I also feel that my degree in business and administration from Wright State Lake Campus will help me in these goals. My dream is to live in the Fort Recovery area with my family and own a successful business that continues to support and give back to our community. So at this time, it's my honor to present the 2021 Clarence and Ruth Raby Memorial Scholarship Award to A.J. Roemer.
I would just like to thank the Chamber for giving me this scholarship and investing in a future in education and my business here in Fort Recovery. Thank you.
Congratulations, AJ. Yeah, I got a son-in-law named TJ. My daughter married him 6 years ago. I still don't know his first name, but I'm sure he has one. Now, the world needs great young men like AJ, if nothing else, just to sign the grandparents up for COVID vaccine. I mean, it has been a struggle for those older folks. My dad called me up. I said, no, man, you need somebody that can actually score Garth Brooks tickets on Ticketmaster, because that's almost what it took, you know, and get a couple seats at Hamilton while you're at it. All right, well, Sean is going to come right back to the mic because he is going to present the Business of the Year Award.
I get to go twice tonight. I'm super excited. Actually, this is kind of neat. I like doing this a lot, especially for these two gals. They put a lot of time, work, effort into this award, so I'm very happy to present it to them this evening. So tonight, I'm presenting the 2020 Business of the Year Award to Lifestyles Beauty. In 2004, Maria Bruns opened up her first beauty salon location in Fort Recovery at 201 East Water Street. She operated out of this location for 12 years. In 2016, Ashley Leonards came into the picture when Maria and Ashley purchased their current location at 127 North Wayne Street. The newly purchased building had an initial remodel, with the previous tenant being Ron Mays Plumbing. The goal for the two entrepreneurs was to open by the annual Christmas open house, which only left them 3 months to accomplish that. Thanks to big help from family, friends, and the community, they were able to make it happen. In November 2016, they opened their doors. During the COVID pandemic of 2020, the salon was forced to shut down for approximately 3 months. Maria and Ashley took it upon themselves to look at this as an opportunity to remodel the interior of the salon. With new stations for doing nails, pedicures, and skin care, and basically giving the entire inside a new facelift, the salon is now more beautiful than ever. Notable improvements to the interior and exterior of the building is as follows. New flooring, paint, decor, awning outside, improved curb appeal, and overall total aesthetics to the building. It is also noted that Maria and Ashley share this location with another local business, which I think is here this evening, BU Boutique, which is located in the back of the building, which I must say that's one of the neat things about this community. Two businesses in one building, pretty darn neat. And I hear they get along pretty well too. Lifestyles Beauty offers services for all things, all hair-related, along with nails, pedicures, facials, and microblading. They can explain what microblading is, because I'm not quite understanding, but I guess I'm a guy, so. The salon currently employs 4 stylists, Ocean Opplinger, Nicole Potcutter, and of course, Maria and Ashley, 1 microblader specialist, Sarah Westgirdis, and will soon have 1 additional assistant, Jessica Hart, who is currently attending beauty school at the Ohio State Beauty Academy in Lima. Both Maria and Ashley were born and raised in Fort Recovery. Both had to go through 1,800 hours of schooling, which Maria attended the Ohio State, right? That's how we say that around here, right? The Ohio State School of Cosmetology in Columbus, and Ashley attending the Ohio State Beauty Academy in Lima. Maria resides here in Fort Recovery and is the daughter of Ron and Becky Judy and is married to Aaron Bruns. Maria and Aaron have 2 children, Kinsley, 6, and Beau, 2. Ashley currently resides in Jay County and is the daughter of Ron and Sandy Kaiser and is married to Dave Leonards. Ashley and Dave have 2 little ones as well. Their precious doggy names are Henry and Sophia. I didn't forget the dogs. Maria and Ashley are both very active with the Fort Recovery Merchant Association in planning and working at the many activities that are held annually to draw visitors to the community. They also volunteer for the Mercer County Cancer Association for Patty's Night Out. In addition to those causes, they also volunteer for the St. Baldrick's fundraiser and have also helped out with the annual tractor pulls and WOW raffle sales. It is also noted that Maria is part of the Ladies Sodality and Ashley is a longtime member of the NRA. There is a fun note, which I don't know if they were going to bring it up, but I will. I believe Maria did Ashley's hair back in the day, if I'm correct. So I did plug that in there. Now, on behalf of the Fort Recovery Chamber of Commerce and the Fort Recovery community, we thank you for everything you've done for our amazing town. Without the support of businesses like yours, many projects wouldn't be possible. It is now my pleasure to introduce the 2020 Business of the Year Award to Lifestyles Beauty. Here tonight accepting the award is Maria Bruns and Ashley Leonards.
We totally had something long planned out, but we liked AJ's speech of thing. Thank you to everybody. It was awesome.
So thank you, Sean. Thank you to the chamber and to the community for giving us this award and to our families for helping make lifestyles possible.
Perfect. Thanks.
Thanks.
So Maria and Ashley, do you do men's hair as well? Sort of. Well, would I get half off since my head has half off? Just wondering, just asking. All right. Yeah, I mean, this COVID stuff has been interesting. And, of course, it shut down all these sports right away. No fans, none of that kind of stuff. I mean, you know, we couldn't talk about religion. We couldn't talk about sports. There's not a whole lot to talk about. Supper table. But what some thing I thought was kind of cool was in the stands, they'd have these cardboard cutouts. You know, you saw those, like, say, the football games. And they'd usually kind of cluster them behind the goalposts because that's where the extra points were. And, the camera would be on there a lot. Well, I started really paying close attention, and I thought, there's some interesting cutouts in there. Like, at some of the New York Jets games, they'd have TSA cutouts in there. And you could tell it's the TSA because they just had the three-ounce beers. You know, and in Miami, there's actual, you know, you look in the Dolphins, there's actual Dolphins in there. And, of course, they bring up the net for field goals. The Dolphins would all scatter, you know, for the exits. But my favorite was the Browns. In Cleveland, you know, they do the shot of there. There were actual dogs in the dog pound. You know, you can see them back there. You know, they got their little cup of rawhide chews, and they're drinking a growler. You know, halftime, they're all scattering over to the fire hydrant cutout that's over there. Of course, the ladies' cutout has twice as many, which is always the way it goes. Well, I tell you, I'm a fan of these two ladies. Come on up. Kathy Stogler and Kathy Kesters are going to come up, and they are going to present the Hall of Fame Award.
Ron, if you're not nervous, you better be.
So when a person applies for a job, you write a resume. When you write about someone's life, you write a biography. But for Ron Beckman, his writing career has been about writing obituaries. So we would like to present this.
Ron, age 65, retired peacefully on January the 28th of 2021 at Brockman Beckman Funeral Home in Fort Recovery, Ohio. He was assisted in his retirement by his loving wife, Ellie
Busher.
You know, it's always in quotation marks when you read it in the paper, who plans to enjoy retirements without late night and holiday calls about a local death.
Ron and Ellie proudly have three children, Kurt, Mandy, of Jay County, Lisa, Josh, of Charleston, South Carolina, and Jody, Greg, of Columbus, Ohio. In his retirement, Ron intends to spend more quality time visiting his children and nine grandchildren.
Ron was a 1973 graduate of Fort Recovery High School and a 1976 graduate of the Cincinnati College of Mortuary Science. After college, he returned to his hometown as a licensed funeral director and embalmer at the Brockman Funeral Home. Cy Brockman, his mentor, provided Ron and Ellie with housing above the funeral home and allowed him to assist at the furniture store on days without a funeral.
And he helped put in carpet at one of my houses once. Yeah. That was nice of Cy to give you that side job. In 1999, Ron and Ellie purchased the funeral home and named it Brockman Beckman Funeral Home, which they operated for the next 30 years. Ron was well known by the local community for his quiet, compassionate manner when assisting families at the death of a loved one. He was also praised for the ability to present the appearance of a loved one in a, "she looks good, he looks so good," manner.
Ron was also well known in his community by sharing his leadership talents in the Lions Club, the KFC, Mary Help of Christians Church, and the Fort Recovery Community Foundation. It was really well known that if you needed a tent for vacation Bible school, you had to ask Ron.
Ron's wild side came forth when he spent time at his lake home with his family and friends. Those are tales we'll need to relate. Those tales others will need to relate to you.
As a faith-filled person, Ron will still be attending Mass, but at the end of the funeral, or at the end of the Mass, he will not be announcing. The family has asked me to announce that you're invited to a luncheon in the undercroft following the cemetery interment. If you're not going to the cemetery, please go immediately to the undercroft and kindly wait.
There will be no visitation. Contributions can be made to the Ron Beckman Everlasting Retirement Fund in care of Ellie Beckman.
Okay, so now we're going to go off script, and I promise it won't be very long, but I went to high school here in the 1970s, and Ron did too, and we all know a good Beckman boy story. So, and Ron was the good one. So everybody knows that Ron was the good one, and I'm not going to tell you those stories. You'll just have to trust me and believe me that there are lots of good stories. But I remember one particular Sunday night in the 70s, as a teenager, you went to the Carousel Ballroom, and it was the thing you did. We went and listened to heavy, stupid metal music, which, you know, you couldn't hear anything unless you put your hands over your ears. And I was picking up a girlfriend, and I happened to run into Ron that evening. Literally, I hit his car. I ran into him and smashed the side of his beautiful silver, was it Chevelle? Yeah, Chevelle. I thought I had it right, but I didn't want to mess it up. And $400 later, I fixed his door, and we were both still friends. So, and he was very gracious about it. But it was fun. Anyway, and then I remember the day, too, that we found out that he was going to be the new Cy Brockman. And we all went, a Beckman boy? It's going to be, do what Cy? No. No, just didn't want to matter. But you know what? Ron rose to the challenge and exceeded in the challenge of that. And he's touched so many lives. You know, all of us have been touched by the things that Ron's done for our families. And I can't think of anybody that's more deserving of being in the Hall of Fame.
And I just, from my standpoint, I am entirely grateful that Ron was my little Holy Spirit who came to me and asked me to get involved with the bereavement program, and it's been a blessing. So you have done so much for this community and for the people at a time when it's really hard, and I'm glad I could be a part of that with you at some times.
Yes, and having personally experienced Ron's eloquence, you know, when Dad died, and most of us, if you've lost a loved one, Ron has touched your life. So, once again, I can't think of anybody more deserving, so please join me in congratulating Ron.
Thank you, girls. Gosh, this is something. I'm going to start out something on the lighter side here this evening. You know, before our family came here this evening, we were in the kitchen at our house, and our daughter Lisa, sitting here, said, "Dad, feeling kind of nervous?" And I said, "Well, a little bit." And I said, "But you know what?" I said, and I made it a point. I'm wearing the same black suit as I wear at a funeral, the same tie I normally wear, the same shirt, shoes, everything. So if I feel really nervous, I'm going to pretend I'm at a funeral. So on a serious note, it's been quite a journey here the last 43 years. I started working for Cy Brockman in 1977, in April of 1977, and Ellie and I got married that July. We really didn't have any money. Like a lot of you, when you get out of college, the only thing you have is college loans and some worn out used cars, and that's basically what we had. And Mr. Brockman said, "Well, you got a place to live?" And I said, "Not really." And he said, "Well, why don't you just move to the funeral home? You'd be right there at work. Utilities are free." And we thought, that's perfect. He said, "You got, how about your furniture?" And I said, "We really don't have any furniture, and I really don't have money to buy any." And Cy Brockman said, "Just pick some things out, put it upstairs, and you can just pay me here this next year." You know, I thought, how wonderful. So that's kind of, it was a humble start. We were very grateful for Mr. Brockman helping us to get started. And Ellie and I, we've been very blessed through the years with help. We've had wonderful help through the years. You can't operate a funeral home by yourself. You simply can't do it. And so we've had wonderful employees, and some are here tonight here with B. Alec and Louis Diller. Roger, the mayor, can't be here tonight, but we've been very blessed with that. And the individual that has helped me the most and supported me the most is my lovely wife, Ellie, has done a lot that a lot of people are not aware of, a lot of the behind-the-scenes work, from putting funeral information on a computer, writing obituaries, proofing my obituaries, putting up the flowers, setting up the rooms, and some of the things, and occasional hairdresser. Occasionally she would, if someone died at home in the middle of the night, she'd get up with me, she'd go out to the house, help with the removal, was very gracious about it. And then there's things that are visible, like she was a hostess in the funeral home, led prayer services, helped the bereaved, and so I'm very grateful for that. And I was going to have you stand, Ellie, but instead, I think what I'm going to do, I'm going to have you come up here and join me. What do you think, folks? Come up here and stand beside me. Watch your step here. Truly, through the years, this has been a joint venture, a small business. We have been 24/7, 365 days a year. So you know what kind of effort it takes and the sacrifices that it takes. And she's been with me the whole time. Okay.
Yeah. I still love him.
So together, this last year, we thought, you know, it's time. It's time to retire. It's time to use some of our productive years that we have left to help the next person and to help them through a transition period. So this past February, the ownership of the funeral home has changed to Tom Shaw and Eric Fee, both from Greenville. And Tom and his fiancée, Hannah Hunt, are with us here this evening. Would you please stand and be recognized? Tom and Hannah. I've known Tom since he was 16. Greenville High School called and said, "So we got a young gentleman here. He was like a junior in high school. And got a young man here that would like to mentor at the funeral home." And I said, "Well, okay." You know, we set up a date. And I met him there that day. And I thought, when he left, I thought, and I told my wife, I said, "What a mature young man for 16 years of age." Because when I was 16, I wasn't anything like that. And so when he was a sophomore at Ohio State, I was thinking about retirement in the future, you know, a few years. And I touched base with Tom, and I said, "Why don't we get together when you're back here at Greenville?" And so we did. We became friends, and we went back and forth from Greenville to Fort Recovery, went to seminars together. He helped me at the funeral home, son, and here we are today. So, Tom and Hannah are going to be part of the Fort Recovery community. He was, and him and her very much want to get involved in the community, and they're going to be moving to Fort Recovery here in the near future. They are getting married in October. So, So, in closing, I think we talked about this last night, that in closing that we would like to say we appreciate the people in the community, your confidence in us as a funeral home and serving your families. So thank you very much. And I should thank the chamber for this award and recognition here this evening. And it was nice to see Kathy.
Kathy and Kathy.
What a lovely couple. And
What a pair.
And I've worked closely with Kathy Stogler at the funeral home there. She's been our bereavement coordinator for a number of years. And I helped her to start that position. We'd never had one in our cluster parishes. So I asked her one day, "Would you consider that?" And she's been wonderful, and of course Kathy Stogler, we all know how wonderful she is. So again, with that,
Kathy Kesters.
I'm sorry.
See, I always have to help him with that little thing.
I talked about proofing my obituaries, right?
Okay.
Yeah. So it's been a team effort, and we thank you.
That's right, yeah.
What's that?
I'm the perfectionist. I get the constant.
I've told her all the time. Yeah. She should have been a school teacher, you know?
I was a medical technologist.
That's right.
So, okay.
Well, thank you very much.
All right. Let's go this way. Get your things here,
Alrighty, and truly, you know, I work a lot with the end of life, and I just can't say enough about how our funeral directors just kind of, with all the closure, and it's just so important, and Ron's always done such a fantastic job. And if I ever need any legal advice, there's always the law firm of Kathy and Kathy. I'll be calling you shortly. I was outside an Apple store, and gosh, somebody drew a gun on me. Luckily, he just wanted to take my temperature. It was a thermometer. But I scored one of these awesome Apple Watches. How many people out here have these Apple Watches? I mean, they're just amazing. Yeah. I mean, they can. You can look down and you can see your pulse. Where before I used to have to take my pulse, you know, with my palm up, but now I can do it with my palm down. So worth it. And it can also, it can actually, so smart, it can do what's called an EKG. You know, it's those little blip lines that you see on there that goes down and up and then down. Oh, wait, so those are my stocks. Never mind. But anyway, if you see a flat line, that's not a good thing. That part you know. And it sends me reminders, which is kind of annoying. It sends me reminders to stand, sends me reminders to breathe, you know. Yeah. Oh, got a text from my wife. She says, "Remember to breathe." Oh, so annoying. So annoying. But it also, it's good for elderly because it helps you, it'll actually sense when you fall quickly, so mine automatically calls my lawyer when that happens. But I almost wish it did something like really useful, you know, like a breathalyzer or something, so I could be in B-dubs, you know. One more round. Oh, and the absolute, this is kind of a bonus, but it actually tells time. Go figure. All right, next is Jamie Stahman is going to be coming up, and she is going to give away our Citizen of the Year Award. If you see all this is the swag, they're getting stuff from the representative's office, they're getting stuff from the Senate office, the county office. They just got a stack of office good stuff and awards most deservedly.
I need one of them watches because I'm pretty sure my heart beats like at 192 right now because I'm not much of a speech giver. But I do got all these papers to give this speech, but I didn't want to show Dave up, so we'll get rid of most of them. But like I said, I'm not really not much of a speech giver, and I'd really like to be like, up next, Mindy Bupp. But anyhow, she deserves way more than that. As many of you know, Mindy is not a native Fort Recoverian. But you wouldn't know it by talking to her. She takes pride in her town and bleeds purple like the rest of us. She wants the best for her town that her family lives in, and I think that's pretty great, Mindy. Something I knew I did learn about Mindy this week, she started and ran the book club from 2004 to 2013, and she started and ran the library's Festival of Trees. I did not know that. That's pretty awesome. And I don't know if you guys have ever been up to the Festival of Trees or anything like that. I mean, it's something definitely to go to, and it's a cool thing that our town has. I don't know if other towns have it or not, but I think it's pretty awesome. And another way she has proven her love for our town is that she's been involved in coordinating and coaching the youth soccer program from 2006 to 2015. So for 9 years, she got to deal with a whole bunch of little ones. And if you have ever been involved with it or saw it and saw all the little kids that are up there, you know that that's not really an easy task. And I was blessed enough to be able to work with her for a couple years in there too and get to know how dedicated she was to our town and especially our youth. And if she wasn't busy enough in 2006 chasing after her three beautiful little girls, Alexis, Ava, and Audra, and helping out with the library and the soccer program, she and some others thought, let's start a summer swim program. And it was like 2010 then, I thought, because I really didn't know a whole lot about it, but my beautiful little 8-year-old was then to that point where she could join. I thought, this might be kind of fun. And then, you know, you're in the whole thing, and a couple, I don't know, if most of you people here know this as well, when they ask you to kind of help out, you being from Fort Recovery, you're like, yeah, sure, I can help out and do whatever. Well, I don't know how many years later, I have been working pretty side by side next to Mindy. Started with concessions, and then after a couple years, she asked me to be president, and I really got to work actually very close with Mindy. And in doing this, I got to see the countless hours that she puts into the sport. And when I say countless, I mean like crazy countless hours. And just for example, I have already got the text last week to start planning for this June for our summer swim program for this year. And she lives, breathes, sleeps, everything, swim until July, unless there happens to be a pandemic, and then she can maybe extend that season a whole nother month, like she did last year. But through the years, Mindy has become a great friend, and I've gotten to see the passion that she has for our youth. And I really can't imagine my kids not having the soccer program or the swim program and the option to participate in those. And thanks to her, we have really great programs in both of those. On a side note, and I know this award is supposed to be for the volunteer stuff and everything that she has done, but I'm going to brag on a little bit more. She also coached high school track for 3 years from 2010 to 2013 and high school swim from 2014 to present. And she, like Dave had mentioned earlier, got to bring the girls to state this year in a relay and then Tegan in an individual event, which is pretty darn awesome if you don't say so. I mean, that's awesome. And even though I know they say it's a paid job, she makes, I don't know, probably, like I said, the countless hours she puts in, I don't know, what, 13 cents an hour? And in that 13 cents, I'm pretty sure she uses that money to buy the kids Pop-Tarts for morning practices. So that's maybe a break-even type thing. And Mindy, it does not go unnoticed. You were pretty awesome. But Brian, I'd like to thank you too for being smart enough to not to let her slip through your fingers and helping her find her way back to our small town. So let's give it up for Mindy Bupp.
Thank you very much, Jamie. I know that was hard for you to get up here, and trust me, it's hard for me as well. I'm definitely not a speaker either, so I know what that's like. First of all, I want to thank the Chamber, obviously, for all that you do for the community and for having this annual awards banquet and dinner. To acknowledge all the people and organizations that have also done so much for this community. Year in and out every year. I want to thank the person that nominated me. I understand it stemmed from running the Eel Swim program this past summer during COVID. I believe there are so many people that did so many exceptional things this past year just to have an ordinary, regular life, which we didn't really have. But I think to be considered during this year where I think everyone had to do so much, I'm really thankful for that, and I really appreciate that I was thought of. And it was definitely an honor to be nominated, and I'm really thankful for that. So thank you. I also want to say thank you to my family that all came this evening, my parents, my husband, my kids. Even Audra ran in from a volleyball in Indianapolis from earlier today. I also want to thank all my friends who came out to support me and share this special evening with me. I feel extremely honored to be recognized. When I moved to Fort Recovery in 2002, I really didn't know what to expect. I'd never lived in a small town before, so I was a little bit nervous about it, but I knew I needed to get involved if I was going to make this place my home and get settled in and really feel a part of the community. So someone once said, you know, a wise man supposedly, you know, stick with what you know. So I thought, okay, what do I know? And I thought, well, probably not a lot. So I heard about this program that they were starting called the Friends of the Library, and I thought, well, I know how to read. So I signed up to do that, and we started a bunch of different programs, Festival of Trees. We did the book club, and we did a lot of other programs to help raise money for the library, for the expenses that they were having. And then about a year or two later, I heard that they were going to start this summer swim program. And Alexis was about 6 at the time, and I thought, she can swim. Whether she wants to or not, she can swim. So I'm going to sign her up, and I'm going to worm my way into that one because I actually swam in high school. So I called Jill Vaughn up at the Ship's Hall at the time, Jill, and I said, hey, I swam in high school. I know a little bit about it. I would love to be involved. If you have room and you want me to help at all, I would love to do that. And she was ecstatic. She said, absolutely. And then that, I think it was about that summer, that then I got to know Teresa Leonard's very well, and all of a sudden she's like, hey, why don't you help me with soccer? And so all of a sudden I was like, wow, I've found quite a few things to do. But it was really the swim program that made me realize what kind of community that we live in. We had quite a bit of startup costs for the swim program, and I'm sure it was a lot in part due to the businesses of a lot of you that are sitting here, the donations that you made, but we raised, I think, $25,000 very quickly to start the swim program. And it was amazing how the community, you know, came together to start this swimming program. And then it was amazing at how many kids signed up to swim that first year. I think we had over 100 swimmers our very first year. And for a small town like that, that's a lot of kids. And also, I don't think we really thought we would have that many kids. So I know Leslie Mullenkamp was slated to coach, and so I called her up and I said, you know, 100 kids, that's a lot. I'm like, I said, you need an assistant coach. And she said, I got it covered. I'll be fine. I said, no, you won't. You need an assistant coach. I'm coaching. And we've been great friends ever since. But the funny thing is, let's switch over here. As I look around now, the people that I see out here, a lot of you, I'm amazed at how many of you have had your children in the swim program, either in the summer swim program, high school swim program, or both. And that's one of the reasons why the swim program is so important to me, because a large portion of my friends and my family are tied to swim. I either met you through swim, or I roped you into swim once I knew you. It's one of those, you know, what came first, the chicken or the egg at this point. But either way, I'm so grateful to all of you. And I'm so grateful to the entire community for the support that they've provided me and the swim program throughout the years. Another reason I think the Eels Summer Swim Program is so important is that it gives kids of all ages and athletic backgrounds the opportunity to come together for a month or two in the summer. Swimming helped me connect with other kids when I was growing up, where we lived in a much larger city. And then again, when I moved from California to Ohio my junior year of high school, it was a way for me to meet other kids and really transition at a hard time in my life as a teenager. I think when you swim, you spend time with your friends, but you also spend time with kids you never would have spent time with. And I think that that's a great opportunity in this area for the kids to get together in the summer and spend time together. Swimming also gives the children a very tangible sense of accomplishment. They can see themselves getting stronger every day as the laps get easier. They can see their technique improve and their times drop when they race. And I think that they see that their hard work is really paying off, and I think that's something great to see as a coach and as a person, all the kids develop. I know this past year, the thought of not having a swim program, I've got this fly that's attacking me. The thought of not having the swim program this past year really made me anxious and frustrated, knowing that we could be outside and safe and still allow the kids a chance to spend time together. So last summer, we did have the summer swim program. It was during a year where there was a lot of communities that didn't have a pool open, and they didn't have a swim team, and they didn't have their swim meets. And I feel like a lot of that credit should go to Randy Diller. His ability to work well with the county health department was tremendous, and had he not been proactive and diligent on his end, we wouldn't have even had a pool to swim at this summer. So I would like to thank Randy and his staff for working really hard this summer to make sure that all that happened for us and that he kept the pool open for us. Obviously, we ran things a little differently. We started our season a little later. It went a little longer. Jamie. We tried to work on social distancing. We only had a couple of meets, and we had to really rethink how we did things, and that a lot of work went into that, and I thank Jamie for that as well. I know I roped her into a lot of that. We ran extra practices and different things we did at practices to try to break things up for the kids because it was a little bit longer season without as many meets. Obviously, again, we had great parent support, and I'm very thankful for that and for the community. But I think all in all, it turned out to be a really great season. And I think we were able to give the kids a little bit of normal this summer, kind of in a summer where it was not normal at all. In closing, I just want to say that as a young adult, I really did not know what to expect when I moved here. But I would not change any of it. I would not want to be anywhere else. This is such a special place. And I am so grateful and thankful for all the opportunities that I've had and the experiences that I've had, but most of all for the people that I've met and gotten to know through all the activities that I've been privileged to be in. So I just want to say Thank you again for this award. I am greatly honored and forever thankful. So, thank you.
All righty, congratulations. Yeah, anybody can get a little kid to do a butterfly stroke has got special talent. Okay, well, we've got some giveaways, some centerpieces here. And then we also have the raffle. All right, I usually just go ahead and recognize the sponsor again, pick a name, you know. Doesn't have to be that anything in front of you. It doesn't have to necessarily be that labeled. You guys can have a wrestling match afterwards for things. For Cheeseman Transport, we have Jeanette Diller. Our first winner tonight, Jeanette Diller. For getting you a florist, Bailey Klein. Woo-hoo. For Recovery Dairy, Bert Stogler. Maybe we'll throw a cone in for you. Kling Schern and Sons, Bill Stogler. Oh my gosh, what a pretty family that's going to be tonight. From Kalp Pharmacy, Dale Beckman. From Mercer Health, Connor Rammel. Mercer Savings Bank, Peggy Allig. Allie, sorry. Yeah, you think I could read bad writing, but that's actually not true. Mellencamp & Associates, Ben Thaler. All right. All right, from the People's Bank Company, Todd Holman. Woo! From Tomorrow's Technology Today, Dave Allig. Let's get some of the bottom ones out here. Shake them up, shake them up. Wangler Ace Hardware, Jody Fowler. From Wendell Poultry Service, Christy Toby. And our last one from Wabash Mutual Telephone, Ashley Lawrence. All righty, congratulations all. Alrighty, now we have to give. Going deep, deep, deep. We're going to shake them up. Oh, what do we got here? So my sticky fingers. Jerry Kalp. Woo! Congratulations, Jerry. Alrighty, I do want to remind all the winners, please come back on stage. We need some pictures. Yeah, and then again, thank you all for allowing me to do this in a world that's been crazy. Whoops. What am I missing? More things to raffle off? Well, more swag. I tell ya. I have no clue what I'm raffling off, but we got a sign. Okay. The mayor. Keeping it in the family. Alrighty. And then finally, Bill Stogler. He's raking in the winnings tonight. All right, but as I was saying, everything that's kind of so bad in the world, I love this evening because it just reminds me of everything that's good in the world. Everybody drive home safely. Again, winners, come on up. Have a good night.